Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI and GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It is 8:06 in the morning. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Thursday, the 7th of August. And here's what we are doing this morning. First part of the show, don't have a guest with us, but we do have some things to update you on. We will tell you a little bit about what's going on in regards to the wastewater treatment plant in the Dalles. Got a note from Matthew Cleaves, and we will take a look at that this morning and update what's going on there. And also, just got a few minutes ago from Wasco County Sheriff's Office and Emergency Management, a fairly lengthy press release on Rowena Fire Recovery and where they are now. They are now saying Phase 1 cleanup is complete. And now the interim period is underway. I have no idea what they mean by interim period, but I'll tell you what, we'll go through this after the break, and I'll try to figure that out, and we can figure it out together. So that is what I'll be talking about here this morning on the show in the first half. Second half, Leah Lowe is going to join us, Wasco County 4-H coordinator, and we will talk about what they've got coming up for the Wasco County Fair, which is just 1 week away in Tie Valley. Going to be coming up the 14th through the 17th. So that's all coming up on Mid-Columbia Today over the course of the next little less than 1 hour. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. 1789, the U.S. Department of War was established by Congress. 1942, U.S. and other Allied forces landed at Guadalcanal, marking the start of the first major Allied offensive in the Pacific during World War II. 1964, Congress passed the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, giving President Lyndon B. Johnson broad powers in dealing with reported North Vietnamese attacks on U.S. forces. This day in 1974, French highwire artist Philippe Petit performed an unapproved tightrope walk between the 2 hours of the World Trade Center in New York, over 1,300 feet above the ground. The event would be chronicled in the Academy Award-winning documentary film Man on Wire. 1978, President Jimmy Carter declared the Love Canal environmental disaster a federal health emergency. It would later top the initial list of Superfund cleanup sites. 1989, a plane carrying Congressman Mickey Leland of Texas and 15 others disappeared over Ethiopia. The wreckage of the plane was found 6 days later. There were no survivors. 1990, President George H.W. Bush ordered U.S. troops and warplanes to Saudi Arabia to guard the oil-rich desert kingdom against a possible invasion by Iraq. 1998, terrorist bombs at American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania killed 224 people, including 12 Americans. 2007, San Francisco's Barry Bonds hit home run number 756 to break Hank Aaron's storied record with a one out in the fifth inning of a game against the Washington Nationals. I will leave it to all of you to argue about whether or not you want to consider that a legitimate record or not. I've got my thoughts, but I won't do them here. 2012, to avoid a possible death penalty, Jared Lee Lefner agreed to spend the rest of his life in prison, accepting that he went on a deadly shooting rampage, an Arizona political gathering in 2011 that left six people dead and 13 injured including Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. And in 2015, Colorado theater shooter James Holmes was spared the death penalty in favor of life in prison after a jury in Centennial, Colorado, failed to agree on whether he should be executed for his murderous attack on a packed movie theater that left 12 people dead. Our days today, it is Purple Heart Day today, and this is the day that George Washington established that medal. I forget what year it was. I did not write it down, but certainly an important thing to recognize. It's also a beach party day today, going to the other end of the spectrum of these days. It's National Lighthouse Day today. And maybe that lighthouse is important because it's also National Sea Serpent Day today, if you want to believe in those things, whether you think the Kraken can be released or not. It's also National Preposterous Packaging Day today. How about we have National Quit Using Preposterous Packaging Day? The most preposterous to me are those plastic clamshell ones where you try, like, headphones will come in. That basically, if you start to cut them, what you're doing is creating a razor blade, an incredibly sharp plastic razor blade. That's preposterous packaging. It's also pretty wasteful and not very good for the environment. And finally, it's Professional Speakers Day today, which I don't think they're talking about what I'm doing, which, believe it or not, I am a professional. I get paid to do this. But I think they're talking about professional speakers as in-person speaking. And there are people who do that for a living. They just go around and make speeches. They can be very entertaining. Sometimes they're inspirational speakers. Usually it's something that they do. They've already done something that's made them desirable to have at an event. And they also are very good speakers, and they can command a fairly large fee. Like, let's say you want to get Barack Obama to come to speak to your group, or Bill Clinton. I'm sure there's a number on a check you can write that will get you that person. We do have some food and drink today. The first one is National IPA Day today, which, of course, is in the beer ale family. I'm happy to say I don't know enough about it to know. But celebrate responsibly if you're into this sort of thing. And it's also Raspberries and Cream Day today. Not Strawberries and Cream. It's Raspberries and Cream today. Strawberries and Cream, I'm sure we'll do a bit later. I would think maybe during Wimbledon. That would have been, of course, last month. It's always been Strawberries and Cream at the dish at Wimbledon in the mornings. But anyway, there it all is for what it's worth. Probably not a whole lot in many cases. 8:12 in the morning, we'll come back, we'll mention an update on the wastewater treatment plant in the Dalles, and we'll talk about Rowena fire recovery going from phase one to interim phase. We'll go through what they've sent me here just a few minutes ago, and I'll be going through it pretty much sight unseen, but hey, maybe that's part of the fun of it. We'll come back after this.
Hi there, I'm Sonny with Sky Heating, AC, Plumbing, and Electrical. Warmer weather is here. Let Sky take care of your HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs so you can focus on what matters most. Right now, we're offering a free service call with any repair so you can keep a little extra in your pocket. Visit skyheating.com today to learn more. Oregon CCV number 245538. Washington license SKYHEHA 870L6.
Get wall-to-wall savings and affordable floors in Abbey Carpets. Work directly with Larry or Shelby. They know flooring with over 30 years' experience. And affordable floors gives you a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. So come to the one-stop shop for everything your floor needs. Get wall-to-wall savings at your hometown floor store. Affordable floors in Abbey Carpets. 1512 Osprey Drive, across from Windmaster Market in Hood River. Online at affordablefloorshr.com.
The John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line. including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And it is now 8:15 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. As we mentioned, got a couple things we're going to update you on here in the first part of the program this morning. Number one, we were hoping to have the Dallas City Manager Matthew Klebs on this morning to talk about the wastewater treatment plant issues, but unavailable, unfortunately. But he did get back to me. He's got meetings. That happens. But he did send a quick little update statement for us, and he says that the wastewater treatment plant, I maybe should step back if you don't know this, E. coli effluent coming out of the treatment plant. I don't have it in front of me here, so I don't know all the science behind it. But the point being that is that it tested high for E. coli in the effluent. And anyway, the wastewater treatment plant continues to follow strict cleaning procedures. They're conducting additional sampling and testing, and that's being verified by multiple laboratories. He says it's important for you to know that the E. coli levels exceeding Department of Environmental Quality limits are only within the wastewater treatment plant. Testing shows E. coli levels in the Columbia River are well below DEQ impacts, and there is no impact to public health and safety. But the river does remain with posted signs as a safety precaution. And he says they'll be working this till the issue is fully resolved. They'll continue to keep the public informed on this. But again, what they're saying is the DEQ limits are exceeded for E. coli only within the wastewater treatment plant. However, you have the signs out because of precautions in case, I guess that's not the case. Anyway, so that's the update on that. I have a lot more I can pass along. The Rowena fire recovery that I just got a few minutes ago from the Wasco County Sheriff's Office and Emergency Management. And they are informing us that phase one cleanup, the removal of household hazardous waste from wildfire impacted properties, has been completed. So now they're into an interim period to enable impacted residents to return and survey their properties before phase two cleanup operations begin. Now, during phase one, it was initial debris assessment and removal, hazardous material ID and cleanup, safety evaluations of affected properties, and infrastructure damage assessment. During this interim period, it's an opportunity for property owners to survey their properties for any personal belongings and items they wish to preserve before phase two begins. Document the remaining debris, coordinate with your insurance adjusters as needed, and prepare for phase two operations. And they also mentioned that there is a hazardous waste collection event. I'm going to be careful on this because they've got a date here with a day that's doesn't jibe. It says on my paper here Friday, August 16th. And Friday next week is the 15th. Saturday is the 16th. I think this is on Saturday at the Dallas Disposal from 9 to 2 on the 16th of August. The reason I am going to guess Saturday on this is I think this was already scheduled anyway. because I know there's one in Hood River on Friday the 15th, and I think it was already scheduled Saturday the 16th, regardless of the Rowena fire. So I'm going to go with the 16th, 9 to 2 at the Dallas Disposal Transfer Station. And they do say residents are unlikely to encounter hazardous materials during the interim period. They are, though, encouraged to properly collect and deliver any hazardous materials they find at the collection event. However, you do need to register for this at least a week in advance, it says here. So, which means you need to register for this today or tomorrow. Go to tricountyrecycle.com or call 541-506-2632. Now, if you missed the registration deadline or have questions about hazardous materials, DEQ can provide guidance and coordinate alternative disposal options. I am wondering about that pre-registration because having seen this in our community calendar, if I remember correctly, households only had to pre-register a day before. Now, it's a good idea to do it a week before. I may be talking out of school here. But go to tricountyrecycle.com. They'll help you out with that. Now, they also pass along, and this is from Wasco County Sheriff's and Emergency Management. This is Rowena Fire Recovery going from Phase 1 to an interim phase before Phase 2. Some critical safety information for property access. Residents who return to the wildfire-affected area during this interim period are strongly encouraged to wear Tyvek coveralls and N95 masks. They're available for pickup from North Central Public Health District at 419 East 7th in the Dalles, or Mid-Columbia Fire and Rescue at 1400 West 8th in the Dalles during normal business hours. Now, if you cannot wear proper protective clothing, wear long sleeves, pants, and sturdy shoes, then immediately dispose of all clothing worn while re-entering the fire-damaged property. Children should not be involved in cleanup activities. Property owners who have not yet submitted their right-of-entry forms can still email them to pio@co.wasco.or.us or drop them off at any Wasco County office. The forms authorize government contractors to enter property for cleanup purposes and are required for the no-cost cleanup program. So here's what's coming up for Phase 2. It will focus on final debris removal and site cleanup, soil remediation where necessary, final safety clearances, and preparation for rebuilding efforts. So the start of Phase 2 is contingent on funding approval. Wasco County actively advocating, they say, for the resources. And Phase 2 will begin as soon as funding is secured, and they'll update the public as soon as they know more. Some additional cleanup resources, the Debris Management Task Force is providing technical assistance and coordinating with subject matter experts to support safe debris management. Guidance on proper cleanup procedures and disposal of fire debris can be found at oregon.gov/DEQ. Also, a local recovery and safety resource is available through Wasco County Emergency Management long-term recovery page. I assume they mean on their website. You also can go sign up for Wasco County Citizen Alert for the latest updates on recovery, road access, and support services. So that's what we've got for you. Again, that's for Wasco County. That is Rowena Fire Recovery that we just went through here, and they sent that release out a few minutes ago. And I'm sorry, I there is a noticeable typo on this, the hazardous waste collection event. And again, I think it's Saturday, August 16th, not Friday. Because there's no Friday, August 16th. It's either Friday, August 15th, where I know they've got one scheduled at Hood River Garbage. Which I suppose if you wanted to go there and you got to register for it, I probably could do it there also. But I would think it's more convenient with the Dalles disposal from Rowena. 9 to 2, and I'm going to assume it's Saturday. Anyway, there is updates on things that are going on in the area. Well, we got a couple minutes here before we take the news break. Leah Lowe is going to join us, Wasco County 4-H coordinator, in a few minutes. Odd story out of Alaska and the National Hockey League, which again, you might think that's an odd combination for me to go to right here, but apparently, Seattle Kraken forward John Hayden, they were doing a youth hockey promotional video shoot, Hayden and the team's mascot. You may have seen this mascot. His name is Bowie. He's described as a blue-haired troll. I got to admit, I think it's a really weird mascot. Apparently, they had a close call with a grizzly bear during this video shoot. They were fly fishing. Again, this is for a video shoot, so you got this person dressed up as a mascot and Hayden, the player. They're on a fly fishing outing in Katmai National Park as part of a trip promoting youth hockey. The video shows when the bear approached, the two were knee-deep in shallow water. They wore waders and other fly fishing gear. Hayden had been fishing, but a guy quickly took the rod from him. The bear charged toward the mascot, splashing water, but turned away before making contact as Hayden, Bowie, and the film crew walked back to shore as they waded through the gentle stream. The NHL team said it did not intend to involve the bear in filming. That's nice to know. I think probably the folks who were charged out would have liked to have known if the bear was coming. But it was included in the video they posted on social media because, of course, you always post these now on social media. Apparently, the grizzlies commonly feast on salmon in the river near Brooks Falls in the park. Now, the organizers had hired guides for safety, so at least they were aware that something like that could happen. I like the Kraken. I'm not a fan of the Seattle Kraken. I'm too old to switch my team allegiance in hockey. They came along too late. I've got tickets to a game coming up in November. See my wife's favorite team again. But I'm going to admit that mascot's off-putting. I'm not a big mascot fan to begin with. For kids, it's great. I'm not one of these people who go, well, there shouldn't be mascots at all. Oh, well, fine, whatever. Now, I'm fine with it for the kids. But this one, I don't know. I'm not sure. They called it a blue-haired troll. I'm not sure it's. I suppose it's supposed to be. It's under a bridge in Seattle. This mascot came to life. The backstory. I think there's a bridge there, and I don't know enough about Seattle's architecture that has like a troll sculpture of some kind on it, and then that's kind of the inspiration for Bowie. But anyway, I digress, and we could do the news. 8:26 in the morning. We'll take our break. We'll do the news. Leo Lowe from Wasco County 4-H after this.
Hi, I'm J.R. Frakes, financial advisor with Edward Jones. I believe feeling rich is less about reaching a magic number and more about living life on your terms with financial strategies that help support a life you love. You can count on me to help you achieve what matters most to you, because the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Contact me today at 509-774-6480, and let's find your rich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Hi, everybody. This is Anthony Lucia, your Pendleton Extreme Bulls Tour finale announcer. The event that crowns the Extreme Bulls Tour champion will take place during the 115th Pendleton Roundup this September. The PRCA, the Pendleton Roundup, and Happy Canyon are excited to present the Extreme Bulls Tour Finale, presented by Coors Banquet and your local Coors distributor, Columbia Distributing, in the world-famous Happy Canyon Arena. The Extreme Bulls Tour Finale will be a two-day event scheduled for September 8th and 9th. It will feature the top PRCA bull riders, each having earned their place by qualifying through the semifinal events, all leading up to the thrilling tour finale inside the world-famous Happy Canyon Arena. Get your tickets now, as they won't last long, for this epic championship event that will crown the Extreme Bulls Tour champion. Buy tickets now at PendletonRoundup.com for the PRCA Extreme Bulls Tour Finale. On with the show, and let her buck.
As an educator, Mr. Nelson's teachings are still being quoted in schools.
Education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world.
Mr. Nelson taught hope.
Everyone can rise above their circumstances if they are dedicated and passionate.
And giving our best efforts.
It's always impossible until it's done.
Mr. Nelson Mandela's teachings not only united a nation, they inspire us today. Inspiration. Pass it on from PassItOn.com.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is 8:28 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Here's what's in the news. The Wasco County Commission gave Administrative Officer Tyler Stone the go-ahead to sign contracts for the architectural designs for a substance use disorder facility in the aftermath of the Oregon Health Authority finding a proposed resolution center to include behavioral health services could not proceed due to Medicaid rules. Commissioners made the decision to move forward contingent on Mid-Columbia Center for Living's board doing the same. Along with a 16-bed substance use disorder facility, Stone says a 23-hour crisis receiving center Center remains possible. County Commissioner Phil Brady is also on the Center for Living board. He said that group has not had time to consider the options after the OHA ruling. Wasco County Commissioners approved opting out of a recently approved set of state rules on siting solar power projects, while the county's planning staff to analyze their impacts. County Community Development Director Kelly Housley Glover told commissioners a recent state Supreme Court decision found Oregon's Energy Facility Siting Council can waive local regulations if there is no direct impact to statewide land use planning goals. She says there have been two new pathways prescribed for solar permitting, but they are very confusing, even to planning officials. Housley Glover says the opt-out will give her staff a chance to analyze the impacts of the new rules. She says they can opt back in if it is found the rules to be a good fit for Wasco County. The Wasco County Sheriff's Office says phase one of Rowena fire recovery nearing an end. Actually, we just did a press release they sent a few minutes ago saying it's at an end, but it's still an important time to take advantage of available recovery services while they are still accessible. Free personal property recovery is available through Northwest Baptist Disaster Relief, which the Sheriff's Office says the vetted member of the National Voluntary Organizations active in disasters and offers specialized assistance to help fire victims sift through debris and recover personal belongings with the assistance of trained volunteers with specialized fire cleanup experience. The service available through Monday and is free of charge to all those impacted by the Rowena fire. Call the organization's Region 3 Coordinator, Dave Hillison, at 503-789-6952. Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley and 3rd District Congresswoman Maxine Dexter have introduced a bill they say would put safeguards in place for farm workers facing wildfire smoke and extreme weather dangers. The Farm Workers Smoke and Excessive Heat Protection Act will require employers to provide N95 masks or other National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health certified respiratory protection, along with training and education, to farm workers exposed to hazardous air conditions. It also directs the Occupational Safety and Health Administration to develop and publish an official standard to protect employees from wildfire smoke and extreme heat exposure. Merkley and Dexter say during wildfire season, farm workers must often work quickly in smoky conditions to harvest crops and protect them from smoke damage, and many do so without proper respiratory protection. Going to be sunny today in the gorge and windy. West winds gusting about 35 miles per hour, particularly later today. Highs in the 70s to low 80s. Currently 64 degrees in Hood River and 64 in the Dalles as well. It's 8:31 in the morning. More Mid-Columbia today after this.
Hi, it's Melissa at Del Carpine Automotive. You know how long 10 minutes is? It's how long it takes me to wrangle my dog into the car most days. Yep, it's also how close we are to our old location. We are now neighbors to Adopt-A-Dog, just a quick drive up the hill. Same team, same top-notch service, and a bigger space to handle all makes and models. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all, and we are family-owned and Columbia Gorge strong.
Discover the peace of mind you've been searching for at Blackstone Senior Living in the Dalles. Blackstone offers everything from independent living to specialized memory care, all in one welcoming community. Enjoy restaurant-style dining, engaging activities, and freedom from home maintenance, all while staying close to downtown shops and outdoor adventures. At Blackstone, you're not just choosing a place to live, you're choosing a place to thrive. Find us on Facebook at Blackstone Senior Living or visit us on Columbia View Drive in the Dalles.
Get ready for four unforgettable days of tradition and fun at the Wasco County Fair and Rodeo, August 14th through the 17th at Wasco County Fairgrounds in Ty Valley, just north of Maupin. And don't miss the NPRA Rodeo with new arena fencing, plus live music after the rodeo. Admission is just $15 for adults, $10 for kids 6 to 12, and free for kids under 5. Multi-day passes available? Grab your tickets now at wascocountyfair.com. That's wascocountyfair.com.
Thinking of climbing our iconic Mount Hood? Mount Hood reaches over 11,000 feet. A climbing permit is needed for anyone ascending over 9,500 feet. Permits are required year-round and can be purchased at recreation.gov. These climbing permits help fund emergency rescue services on the mountain, as well as infrastructural, educational, and sanitation services. The permits range from three-day passes for $20 to annual passes for $50.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bicoastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
So anyway, my iPhone, it said for Hood River next to the temperature, extreme heat watch, which did not fit the forecast, but apparently we've got one for noon on Sunday, apparently. Supposed to be low 90s Sunday and Monday, which I'm not sure that's extreme heat anymore. I don't know. I find sometimes National Weather Service inconsistent on these things. You know, what really qualifies as extreme heat watch? Like, it'll be in the 90s, they don't issue one, then it'll be, you know, low 90s, and they do. Well, anyway, just random neuron firings here, and I'll stop those, and we will talk now to Leah Lowe, Wasco County 4-H Coordinator. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, not bad. It is fair time again next week down in Tie Valley, and I always say the fair runs Thursday through Sunday, but I know for a lot of the 4-H stuff, it actually gets started earlier than that, doesn't it?
You bet. It is our horse fairs this weekend. So kids come in on Friday, but we will be showing horses Saturday and Sunday, mm-hmm. then taking a short reprieve so we can start it all over again on Tuesday.
I take it you separate the horses out. I take it there are some reasons maybe for room at the fairgrounds, et cetera.
It just makes it easier on the kids, too. Horses are, you show them in more classes than you would livestock, right? Because
right.
it's based on the riding style.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes it easier on our kids and parents as well, that they're not juggling caring for livestock, small animals, bringing static projects, and then let's throw a horse in there, too. So it just makes everybody's life easier. But the public is absolutely welcome to come watch. If they do want to come see the kids ride, it'll be most of the day, Saturday and Sunday, at the Wasco County Fairgrounds, and we usually start by 8, and we're done by about 5. Mm-hmm. So you
mentioned all the things that kids do with 4-H in the fair. I know what tends to be maybe the most popular for these kids does it changes from year to year or so. And so what right now is what's most popular for these kids? What's maybe the thing with the most entries out there?
That's a good question. I feel like sheep and pigs are a high contender mm-hmm. as far as the most popular thing, but it really does ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
Our static entries, like our sewing and photography, seem like they're a little up than past years. We have a few new things kids can enter, like videography and cinematography and podcasts. Not a ton of entries there, but it's mm-hmm. nice to see that Wasco County is really, it's got a lot of beauty to it. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure we have one that I see just leaps and bounds ahead of the others, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I love to see that different areas of interest that kids can come up with.
Now you mentioned something I never thought of as a 4-H type event, and that is podcasts?
Hey, yeah. Audio production's a new class.
Really?
You come volunteer to teach it, Mark. I can find a good story.
I have to do it all the time. So, I did not think of that necessarily. That's. I guess I was thinking for a fair. I'm not quite sure how you display a podcast.
I think they're required to bring us a USB, is what the fair book says, so we can plug it in and then. Somebody's laptop would be the screen that it would be displayed on. But
yeah.
We haven't got one yet. I did get to judge a couple in Hood River, a couple of video entries a few weeks back. So that was really, really fun to see some new things coming.
Yeah, it just caught my ear there. That is unique for what we normally talk about. So let's steer here, I guess, first of all, to the animals, but I mean the nature of the Wasco County Fair down in Tie Valley. You've got, I know, a lot of kids. It's not necessarily, you know, they get into this A because they like it, but B it's also a way of life for their families.
I think for a lot of them, absolutely, and there's certainly some generational pride in participating in our program, which is wonderful to see. But don't let it fool you. We have a lot of kids that live in suburban areas or. Don't come from a farming or ranching background that participate. I'd say that's probably the bigger number, certainly across the state, but in Wasco County too. So it's fun to see them have that connection to agriculture that they provided for themselves. It's not necessarily something that has familial ties, right? Mm-hmm. But we also honor those kids that do. If you're down at the fair and you see a banner that says born and bred on it, that indicates that the kid was part of breeding and raising that animal from conception, right? So they own the dam and they mm-hmm. kind of did the project from the very beginning mm-hmm. To now. And so that's just something to keep your eyes peeled for. Is, mm-hmm. That's to highlight our kids and families that are locally growing. Mm-hmm.
Of course,
animals to use as projects.
Of course, showing the animals is a big part of the Wasco County Fair. Take us through a little bit. I know it varies from animal to animal, obviously, but kind of what these kids do to prepare their animals to be showed, because it is it's quite a process. I've watched some of these kids at Hood River County Fair, is where I tend to have had more of the experience of it. But it's quite a process to, and it's also quite a lot of training that's involved beforehand to train these animals to be able to perform well in a show ring.
Absolutely. So the kids that are raising cattle, you know, those kids have had these animals since last fall. Sheep, goats, and pigs, those are typically picked up in March, April. Mm-hmm. It really is a long time commitment for these kids, regardless of what animal project that they're choosing. And mm-hmm. I imagine most people know what it's like to have to feed your dog twice a day and walk them. Mm-hmm. I would say it's that tenfold when you talk about livestock. So these kids have been working their animals at home, and by that I mean training them to either walk or walk on a halter. They've been getting their animals used to them. Stress plays a big role in raising livestock. You don't want your animals to be stressed. And so that takes a lot of time to get them used to you and get them associating you with positive things before you guys are, you know, seeing eye to eye and understanding each other. That's mm-hmm. all part of the training process. Mm-hmm. So these kids have been working at home and, of course, feeding and mucking out stalls and all those fun things. But they really get a sense of what it feels like to start something and see it through to completion, because it's not an easy commitment, but I think each project area varies as well, right?
Yeah. How many kids do you have this year involved in 4-H at the fair?
That's a great question. I think we are 135 probably,
okay.
Mark. To be honest, I haven't
yeah.
sat down and
yeah, yeah, just a,
looked at all of our fair entries yet.
Yeah. I know maybe you don't have them all yet. I don't know if you do or not. I know sometimes those fair entries come in really late toward the end there. I assume the show ring out there, I assume it's going to be busy pretty much all the way through the fair.
Oh, yeah. So Thursday, August 14th, and then Friday the 15th, those are going to be the main show days. There should be something going on almost all day down there as far as animals being shown. Saturday, it's a little calmer, but then you have the Wasco County Youth Livestock Auction at 3 p.m., so that'll be the excitement for the barns for the day. And then Sunday is fairly quiet as well. So if you're really wanting to come see a show, I would recommend coming either Thursday or Friday. And as a reminder, Thursday is Family Free Day at the Wasco County Fair.
And we should point out also, you can get a schedule on the fair's website, on the Wasco County website. You can go get the schedule of events going on out there. And you just mentioned really the big one, and that is the livestock auction, the youth livestock auction. I think you said Saturday at 3:30, I believe, is when it's going to be.
3 p.m. sharp.
3 o'clock. Okay, 3 o'clock is when you get started.
Yep.
but this is the culmination event, isn't it? This is something, it's the importance of community involvement to help support these kids.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and that's what fair is designed to be, right? This is their opportunity to show the public what they've worked on, right? This is the celebration of their hard work. So if you're visiting, I encourage you, please ask kids about what their projects have been like and what they've worked on. They would be more than happy to answer and tell you because they want to show off what they've done. And I think that's a really special thing for these kids to get in our community. And I think it's really special that our community can connect with agriculture in this way as well.
So the ag side of all this, but there's also, you mentioned the static displays, and this is a little more varied, again, all the way to audio production and podcasting apparently now. But you've got some of the traditional ones is what I think we think about, the sewing and kind of the home economic side.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, we have, like, food displays where kids can bake cookies or muffins or brownies or pies. We do have, like, clothing and textiles. Last year we had a young lady completely hand sew a whole dress. So come check out what she did this year, because I can only imagine it'll be better. And there's also photography. There's going to be some STEM displays. There's a little bit of everything. But it's really amazing how many kids are still honing those, I'm going to call them lost art skills, right? Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people know how to sew or can, or even cook nowadays. So mm-hmm. come check out what these kids have been learning and doing through their 4-H projects. Mm-hmm.
So again, the Wasco County Fair, we'll mention again, the horses are going to be out this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So mm-hmm. people can check that out in Tie Valley. And again, throughout the fair, especially Thursday and Friday, it sounds like that's a good day. If you want to check out some of these kids showing their animals, that's the time to be there.
You bet.
And again, also the important one, the livestock auction as well, 3 o'clock on Saturday at the Wasco County Fair in Tie Valley. Leah Lowe has been with us, Wasco County 4-H coordinator. Leah, thanks for doing this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is 8:45 in the morning. We'll come back with more after this.
There's nothing quite like the feeling of helping a neighbor in need. Right now, many families in the Gorge are without reliable transportation, and you can help make a real difference. Bicoastal Media, C.H. Ernest Motors, and Gill's Point S Tire and Auto proudly present Wheels of Hope. This September, one deserving local family will receive the keys to a 2015 Ford Focus. And it starts with your nomination. If you know a family that's fallen on hard times and needs a dependable vehicle, visit GorgeRadio.com to tell us their story. It only takes a few minutes, but it could change their life. Wheels of Hope is made possible by community partners who care. C.H. Ernest Motors, Gill's, Point S Tire and Auto, Walmart of Hood River, Wagas, Skyline Hospital, A&C Equipment Repair, Sinclair, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air, Bimart, Cascade Farm and Outdoor, and Crestline Construction. Visit GorgeRadio.com today to nominate a family and be a part of Wheels of Hope, because together we drive change.
Well, pepper me timbers! We struck buried treasure!
Buried treasure? We're gonna be rich!
No, buried treasure! As in the succulent taste of new Dr. Pepper Blackberry.
Yo-ho!
Aye, it's bold Dr. Pepper.
With sweet blackberry flavor.
Oh, this is the most one-of-a-kind flavor ever.
Aye, Captain. I wish me family could taste this.
Me too. But who needs family when we have Dr. Pepper Blackberry?
Aye, Captain. Pass me a zero sugar.
There you go. Try new Dr. Pepper Blackberry. It's a pepper thing.
Your local Pepsi distributor hopes you'll enjoy an ice-cold Dr. Pepper while dining at Ixtapa Mexican Restaurant in the Dalles or Hood River. Both Ixtapa restaurants are open 7 days a week. Experience one-of-a-kind flavor in every sip of Dr. Pepper.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is 8:48 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. This morning, Oregon Capitol Chronicle is reporting. Governor Tina Kotek has signed a slate of bills to improve behavioral health care in Oregon, one of which invests $6 million to provide more incentives to incentivize people to pursue behavioral health care careers. Another $65 million to increase capacity for residential treatment across the state. That kind of gets into the resolution center situation. I'm still bothered by the Oregon Health Authority's response to that and really not providing any other pathways for that project. The House Bill 2005 also broadens the circumstances when a person with mental illness can be detained and committed to the Oregon Health Authority for treatment.
And also, there's another bill that allocated $1 million for the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission to develop and implement a substance abuse prevention plan for Oregon youth. All right, so that's what bills have been signed here. Are we passed that along? Because I found it here a few moments ago. Well, you know, a lot of things are coming onto my desk here during the show, interestingly enough, which is helping me this morning. We do have plenty coming up the next couple days on the show, by the way. This is one of those interesting day situations today where I was kind of sending out invitations to people. I was able to fill tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and couldn't fill today, the first half of the show. It happens. But tomorrow on this program, Kelly Housley Glover is going to be on, Wasco County Community Development Director. And we're going to discuss from the news we had earlier this morning and maybe try to provide clarity, even though it appears clarity is difficult on this, on local governments and solar power projects and what they can do. I mean, there was a state Supreme Court decision on a Umatilla County case and found the Oregon Energy Facility Siting Council can waive local regulations if it's found there is no direct impact to statewide land use planning goals. Which makes you wonder if at this point, if that's the case, you know, should local governments even bother trying to have any sort of sidebar regulations on these sort of facilities? If it's just going to come down to the state anyway, maybe everything just needs to be rules by the state, which I'm not a big fan of. But that court ruling kind of makes you lean that way. But Kelly said during the county commission meeting yesterday that it's a very confusing topic, so we'll try to either cut through the confusion or I'll get more confused. I don't know which, but we'll do that tomorrow. Monday, J.K. Anderson is going to join us, Hood River White Salmon Bridge Authority, off the board there. There have been some things happening regarding a new bridge we'll talk about. And we'll talk to Andrea Claus in the Port of the Dalles on Monday. Tuesday, we'll talk Hood River County with Commission Chair Jennifer Ewer and Administrator Allison Williams. And we'll talk to a member of the Wasco County Commission. I'll have to look at the calendar and see which one it is this week or this month. And Wednesday, Charles Young is going to join us. Upper Hood River Valley Preparedness. They're going to have a big event on that. Wildfire preparedness specifically targeted the Upper Hood River Valley on a Thursday of next week. So we'll talk to Charles about that. And we'll talk to Hood River County Health Department, which means our friend Darren Ryan will join us. That's what's coming up in the next few days on Mid-Columbia Today. It's 8:52. We'll take our last break and come back and get ready to head on out for the day after this.
Join us on Saturday, September 6th to kick off the 115th world-famous Pendleton Roundup for a don't-want-to-miss co-headliner concert featuring country music icons Tracy Lawrence.
If the world had a front porch like we did back then.
And Rodney Atkins.
Makes me want to take a back road. Makes me want to take the long.
Legendary country music star Tracy Lawrence and chart-topping hitmaker Rodney Atkins will perform Under the Stars in the world-famous Happy Canyon Arena, presented by Vegetation Solutions.
Find out who your friends are. Somebody's going to drop
it. Tickets are on sale now at www.pendletonroundup.com. Tracy Lawrence and Rodney Atkins co-headlining Pendleton Roundup in the famous Happy Canyon Arena. Get your tickets now at PendletonRoundup.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's news leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. Was I the only one on that first commercial by the Pendleton Roundup that almost had to flip my headphones off? Boy, that sound effect, it got your attention. That's a good ad, I will say that. You know, just, I probably should have my headphones down a little lower. I usually keep them for when we're doing our interviews. Boy, that hit you, boom, right through the ears. Yeah, it was a good ad. It just, it startled me a little bit. We're wrapping things up here this morning. Let's tell you some things going on in the area before we leave here. Tonight, of course, big night for Hood River. It is the night Families in the Park gets started. The free concerts in August, put on by the Hood River Lions Club and the Gorge Community Foundation. And they feature Beat Division. They do 80s music. Poor Mike Shinn, the first band he mentioned on this show, mentioned the 80s, was a band I just could not stand. If you heard the show, I couldn't help it. But this will be good. If you enjoy 80s music in particular, 80s pop music, you'll enjoy this. 7 o'clock this evening, it is free at Jackson Park in Hood River. Tomorrow, History Museum, Hood River County, Embrace the Wild Wind guest speaker series with Fiona Wild on paddleboarding. Friday evening at 7, Museum in Port Marina Park, $8 for members, $10 for non-members. Information at HoodRiverHistoryMuseum.org. It is going to be Cruise the Gorge weekend. We talked about this yesterday on the show. And the Neon Cruise tomorrow evening starts right around 7. Of course, open cruise through downtown The Dalles. And by the way, from 6 to 9 tomorrow evening, you'll hear it on News Radio 1300 and 1039, along with 93.5 FM KC FM in The Dalles, our classic hit station. Jonathan Ross will do a special evening show, and he will be playing for you car music, stuff to cruise by. 6 to 9 tomorrow evening on our airwaves. And also the show in the shade, of course, at Cirrhosis Park starts at 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Dufour Classic Car Show on Sunday in Dufour Community Park, because it is Dufour Threshing Bee weekend, 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. So you can have a full weekend of car show activity this weekend in the area. Also worth noting, a couple other things. Wasco County Historical Society program. Paula Kuttner is going to pay tribute to local historians. That's at 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday in the backyard of the Moody Rorick House on 300 West 13th in the Dalles. Also, the St. Mary's Academy Summer Social is going to be on Saturday at 3 at the school on 1112 Cherry Heights Road in the Dalles. All alumni and friends, they are welcome to stop by and attend. Of course, I mentioned the Wasco County Fair next week. Also, Clickitat County Fair next week. We talked about that fair back on Monday on the show. And they've got the fair and rodeo there going on, much like Wasco County does. Wasco County has also got a demolition derby on Sunday. You can sign up for it. If you have a wrecker that you want to wreck even further, 11 o'clock Sunday morning at the fairgrounds in Ty Valley, or if you just want to go and watch people crash their cars. Demolition derbies were big when I was a kid. Wide World of Sports would show them every once in a while. I think there was the World Demolition Derby Championships, which I'm sure still exists somewhere. I'm going to find somewhere on the internet / television universe that we have. I think, was it Bruce Springsteen that did the song 57 Channels and Nothing On? Well, guess what? That's multiplied. Even though no matter what number of channels you have times zero, it's still zero. Still nothing on. Oh, I'm just in one of those moods, I guess, today. I am just... anything that's popping into my brain right now, I'm just throwing out there. But anyway, Demolition Derby going on the 17th down in Ty Valley at the Wasco County Fair. Go to their website or their Facebook page if you want to take part in that, and you can get all the details. I don't get into it, but I know a lot of people do. A lot of people like that sort of thing. I'm not a big auto race guy in particular. The noted British humorist. And I forgot his name. But he had a great line. David Mitchell. I know I forget his name. He's one of my favorites. But I heard him with a line one time. Called auto racing televised traffic. Which is not inaccurate, by the way. You could tell he wasn't a big fan either. My dad's a big NASCAR fan. I did not get that. I just don't. I don't get it, I guess. It starts to look the same to me in about 10 minutes. But if you enjoy it, good for you. So before I get myself in any more trouble, because I seem to be doing that quite well right now, for Cameron Eisenberg, who's been cringing having to produce this, I'm Mark Bailey. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Mid-Columbia Children's Council is...